Now, at 8 o'clock, there was a bit of a test, and only one person passed it, but I may not have been clear. So I'm going to try with a different example at this service and see how you make out. If, for instance, you are sitting at a campfire and enjoying a lovely evening by a campfire, and a spark comes off the fire and sets your pants on fire, what are you supposed to do? Almost. Close. There's three words. Take them off. No. Run away. No. Who's got it? Thank you. Stop. Don't move. Don't rush around. Stop. Drop and roll. All three. Got to do all three. If you run, it's too late. You're all then, as John would say, you're self-immolating at that point. That was his answer at 8 o'clock, I just want to tell you. Stomp, drop, and roll. Okay, now that I've got your attention, I think that we have three words that are meant for us to be what happens when we are set on fire by God. When we have experienced the Spirit in our lives, and when we have come to have a relationship with Jesus, any one or all three of those at the same time. And they are seek, see, and share. It's not quite as catchy, but it's similar. Seek, see, and share. Those are the things we are meant to do when we are caught on fire. When God grabs a hold of us in some way and we are on fire. In Isaiah, we heard this morning, "The Lord called me before I was born, while I was in my mother's womb, and he named me." You see, not only are we to seek, but God seeks us first. That's how it happens. We are known, we are sought before our very birth. And in that moment, we are created in God's image, in God's mind, in God's heart, until we are here in this place. We are sought, and we are to seek. Today we hear the wonderful gospel, which has so many things in it, it's hard to actually follow sometimes. But John the Baptist was seeking. He was very clearly seeking. He was looking for the one who is going to come after him, but he knew who had come really before him in the creation of the world, and he was seeking for Jesus to come. He didn't just sit around and do nothing. He went looking for Jesus. He talked about Jesus. He absolutely turned over every rock and every branch to find Jesus, and there he was. John the Baptist is a great role model for us when we are seeking God. Sometimes we're not so obvious about it. We see that here at the open doors at lunchtime. People come into this church and they don't even know sometimes that they are seeking. Sometimes we can see it. We can see them wandering around looking for something. Sometimes they do know and say, "I don't really know why I'm here, but I feel like I should be." Or they're just enjoying the beauty or having a conversation. But they are seeking. They are looking for something. Something to fill their lives. And that's what John was doing. He was seeking. And for us, we need to seek. We need to remember that that is one of the main things we are to do, is to keep looking for the presence of God everywhere at all times. Just because we did it once and we became a Christian or an Anglican, or especially if we were baptized as a baby, it doesn't end there. We are to keep seeking God in every moment, in every time of our lives. And often, of course, sometimes with the hardest points in our lives, it's most obvious. And sometimes when we are at the most privileged and settled places in our lives, we still need to seek. Because God is always there for us. God is always looking for us to do that. And then we are to see, not just glance at, not just look, but to see, to actually have our eyes opened. John the Baptist says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on Jesus. I myself didn't know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen. Now, we don't have that privilege. We don't get to meet Jesus in person, walking around in bare feet and baptizing people with the Holy Spirit. But we can see Jesus. We can see God. We can certainly see the Holy Spirit at work. We see that all the time, and yet sometimes we haven't actually really recognized it. We see it in our own lives when something touches us and we're changed. Someone said to me at coffee this morning, whatever happens in the parish in the next while, I know what I'd like to have happen, but I hope, even if it's what I want to have happen, I hope it changes me. What a brave statement. Because that person wants to see the fullness of God and see that in their lives and at work so that they can show it to others. And we are meant to share that experience. We are meant to share the experience of being set on fire. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Wow, that's pretty simple. Look, there's Jesus. John saw him. He saw him, and he shared that experience. And what happened? People changed their lives and followed him immediately. That is pretty impressive. That a sharing like that could change people's lives, that so much so that they would want to share in that and then change other people's lives. We have that opportunity as well. You know what it's like when you've told a good joke and then you want to share it with somebody else? Because really, it's not the joke, and it's not even the fact that you've remembered it, although for me that is a fair achievement because I can't remember jokes at all. However, that's not why we tell jokes. We tell jokes because we want to share them, because we want to see people laugh. We want to share in that moment of joy because that's something to celebrate, something that draws us out of ourselves. That's what God is hoping we will do with the good news, that we will have some fun with it. We get so serious in the church sometimes. But we really need to share the joy, to share what we've seen, and to share what we have sought and found. You see, when we have a relationship, and I'm not just talking about a theoretical one, but an actual lived relationship with God, we want to do all those things. But we make it really hard, and the church is particularly good at doing that. We establish rules and systems and hierarchies, and all sorts of things. Now, we need those as human beings, but we think that's what we need, another program, another way of convincing. But that's not our primary role. Our primary role is to be set on fire, to seek, to see, and to share, not to threaten or coerce, not to intimidate, not to woo or wheedle or plead, but simply to seek, to see, and to share. Three very simple actions. Now, there's a really weird thing in this reading of the gospel. And I don't know if you noticed it, but right in the middle of the whole thing, it says it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't make any sense. We're hearing about John the Baptist having met Jesus and proclaiming Jesus and inviting people to get to know him and to show him to people. And all of a sudden it says it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a bit strange. Or is it? Is that not the way we operate? Because when we are set on fire, whether it's because we have been seen or have seen something, we have been sought or we have sought something, or we have shared something. When those things happen, we remember them. And we remember what time it happened at. On Friday night, I was at the Pops concert with some friends. And it was 80s night. So the orchestra was dressed in 80s gear, and it was pretty impressive. And it was one of the most fun and joyful things I've been at the National Arts Center, because it's not really expected to see our symphony orchestra looking like that. It's kind of like the church that way. It was remarkable, and the conductor was amazing. And it was funny, because every time an 80s song came up, the four of us who were there, it touched certain parts in our lives, every one of us. Everybody had a different reaction. But we all remembered exactly what was happening when that song was in our life. And the other three had a great time laughing at me, because one of the songs that was probably not familiar to many people, but certainly was to me, was the Winter Olympics song from 1988 by David Foster. And when that first note started, I almost leaped out of the box. Because I remember being in Calgary. I was there, working at Eaton's, selling nylons, hosiery, to Russian coaches for their wives or their girlfriends. And I'll never forget hearing that song. I knew every beat of the music. I didn't even know I knew it so well. But I remember the pride I had in being a Canadian, the thrill of being there with all those excited people and athletes. I remember what it smelt like on those cold Calgary nights, and I remember the light glinting off the medals, because I went every night to the outdoor medal awards ceremonies. I also met someone who I ended up spending 5 years of my life with and almost got married to at that time. So I have distinct memories. I can't say it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but I remember the month, the day, and the year. Now, imagine if that was true of our faith. And I think it is. I think that when things happen in our lives that are spiritual and touch us to that extent, we remember when they were. So it's not so weird that it says it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Those men whose lives were touched so deeply that they left their life that they'd known and went to share the good news, because they saw something that touched them, because they had been sought by Jesus. That is why it's in the gospel. The other interesting thing is, and the last thing I'm going to share, is that Jesus, when he turns to the disciples that are following, because John says, there's Jesus, and they say, okay, we're going. We're with him. Jesus says, what are you looking for? What do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he says, come and see. They came and saw. They remained with him for that day, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when they then shared with their friends. That was the turning point. And so, for us in our lives, no matter what we do, here at church or in the community or in our own personal lives, we need to remember that we can be set on fire. We need to not stop, drop, and roll, but we do need to seek, to share, and to see those things that touch us. Because then we can help set the world on fire. Amen.